All-Star Superman, which I didn't make this joke during the All-Star Superman record because I know Ben would probably hang up the Skype call, but look at that title. All-Star Superman. That movie is ass.
Wow.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Stand tall, warriors, and charge your rings immediately. There's no mistake. This is just the beginning.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light!
When you shape the light of your ring, you walk in the footsteps of the First Lantern.
You've got one chance, and one chance only.
If he gets past Oa, he can annihilate any world, anywhere.
I am a Green Lantern.
I believe in destiny. All of this, everything we do, is a part of that destiny.
Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados Crossing Over with Tooncast Beyond. We are continuing our look through the DC animated movies. I am your host, Ben. We're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
It's not that easy being green.
And we have with us the host of Tooncast Beyond, TFG1 Mike.
Waka waka. Yes, we are here and we are coming to... We only have two more episodes in the crossover spotlight. I'm loving that we're so far ahead. tonight we are going to be talking about a movie that Ben probably will not like. I enjoyed it simply because on June 7th, 2011, Green Lantern Emerald Knights got released 10 days before we got the Yellow Fear Monster of Shit.
So it's sort of like a beauty... ugly thing where you have like a Picasso next to a pile of manure and you're like, oh, okay.
Pretty much.
But it's not Picasso. It's more like a finger painting next to a pile of manure. But
all right. Before we get too far into this, I have one other thing I want to say. The people that did Batman Gotham Knight, watch this fucking movie. This is how that type of story is supposed to be fucking told, damn it.
You know, I was going to say, you got a Picasso next to a pile of shit. You know what I'd say? That's a mighty fine-looking pile of shit. take that, Picasso.
Well, I know that Neil was not a Picasso fan, and most of his later work is shit. Okay, all of his
said,
later work
should
is
we have
shit.
Said Da Vinci, Ben?
Well, yeah, Da Vinci. because you know the secret about Christ's legacy is in Da Vinci's. No.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, finally I got it.
I really dig this movie simply because it's not a Hal Jordan story. Hal is pretty much narrating all of the intertwining stories here. I love the animation on it. I think it's great. Anytime, doesn't matter if the character is purple or not, anytime Kelly Hu does voice acting, I love it. I don't know. I really like this one. I like the fact that it was an overall linking story, even though it still told six or however many individual stories it was. I don't know. I just really liked this one. It was more enjoyable to me than Batman Gotham Knight. I almost like this a little bit more than First Flight, but I respect and like First Flight for what it did because it brought new voices to those characters of Hal and Sinestro and all that stuff. I don't know. What about you, Neil?
Well, I certainly do agree that it's better than Gotham Knight. However, I think you could have like cut about half the length off this and just made it an episode of Justice League. It seemed like something that should be like a regular episode of a program and not a movie.
It doesn't have an epic feel. Even that's the thing that startles me is you have something coming from the antimatter universe through a sun the size of a planet, and it feels underwhelming. It doesn't feel like a movie. That's the biggest fault of it. I mean, First Flight felt like a movie. This doesn't feel like a movie. This feels less than what Heavy Metal is, and Heavy Metal was also an anthology story. This is less than that. This is basically several linking stories that, and honestly, I didn't like the Kilowog story at all. I thought that it diminished who Kilowog was. Instead of giving more depth to the character, I think it diminished why Kilowog is Kilowog in that he's just parroting someone else.
Yeah, the Kilowog story in this for me just as I said, I like the animation, I like most of the voice acting in this, but the Kilowog story kind of took me out of it. Really, what I like is the end of the film. Honestly, is that final story about going up against Krona. And all that. That's what I really like about the film. But as great and awesome and epic as Henry Rollins is, he should not have voiced Kilowog.
It did not work. And like I said, it's just a weird thing because having Krona come out of the sun and having them push Oa into him to kill him and having Mogo show up to help. This should be such an epic moment, but the buildup is so slow and so lackadaisical. You don't really get that sense of dread or sense of urgency. It by the time it gets there and they start ramping up the music and the scenes and stuff, it just like comes in. If you miss 2 minutes of it, guess what? Oh, you missed the climax. Okay. Yeah, because everything else seemed like business as usual. Oh yeah, we evacuated. Oh, okay, yeah. Let's just you know, form in lines and be real calm about everything and just talk really calmly with each other. No sense of urgency in these characters. Yeah. This is supposed to be like the final battle, and there's no urgency at all. It's like, oh yeah, well yeah, if we die, then we just die, and the ring goes to someone else. Yeah, everybody dies. So what? Yeah, blah, 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 blah. There's no urgency in these characters, and that throws off the pacing. Something fierce, in my opinion.
Well, yes,
to me the big villain at the end, he didn't feel like he was built up at all.
Yeah, there's no build-up. It's just all of a sudden he's here, and if you leave the room for 2 minutes right before he shows up and then right after he's vanquished, you wouldn't know it because it wasn't amping up to that.
I did like the Mogo story.
The Mogo story is awesome. The Mogo story is awesome. That is the most credit I'll give to this. The Mogo story is awesome. It's one of the best stories I've seen. It's one of the best renditions of Mogo I've seen. But, like I said, the pacing killed this for me. It totally killed this for me because you have all the lanterns in a single file line, you know, just very lackadaisical and calm, you know, even though Krona, this being that all the Guardians themselves can harm, had to banish to an alternate antimatter dimension. Everyone's just so calm.
Yeah. I mean, there was more emotion and more, you know, sense of urgency when Kyle Rayner said in Justice League Unlimited, we're drawing a line here. And then Amazo came through and just blasted right through the line.
Yeah.
But there was more emotion in Kyle saying that in Justice League Unlimited than there was in this entire movie.
I like I said, it's if even if they just did some stuff with the score, with the musical score, to add some sense of urgency. But there was none of that. I think the problem here is they have the, you know, number one, they're having the story being told from the point of view of Aresia, and, you know, as everyone knows, she's pedo bait, but she's underage. She's underage.
Neil should know. I tagged him in a Facebook image.
Yeah. And this just, and the whole thing is, you know, she's supposed to be like a student, and, oh, I remember in a class that matter and antimatter can't touch, so we're going to hit them with matter. And they're like, oh, okay, let's just do that. It's extremely underwhelming. I did like some ideas for the stories. I did like the idea behind the first Green Lantern story, but the story itself, it just,
yeah,
it didn't feel right.
I think for me, my two favorite stories out of this were, is it Lyra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her story, and I liked obviously the Mogo story. Kilowog's story just...
It reduced who Kilowog was.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Because it makes it to where Kilowog's whole attitude, the poozer thing, he's parroting someone else. And this was not in anything else. This was an original story just for this.
Yeah. And
in the process of trying to create Kilowog a backstory, they reduced him. They reduced who he was as a character, who he was as a trainer, and who he was as a Green Lantern. And yeah. But the other story, the one about the planet and the daughter and the father.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but I have to say that I really didn't feel much in the way of emotion for these characters, because we're just sort of thrown into the situation where this girl's going against her whole family, and we have no backstory to it other than right when we see it, and it just sort of dumps it all on us at once, and you don't have enough time to create an emotion.
Well, that's because the way that they did this was, as you said, Ben, it's telling the story as Aresia is learning it from Hal. So, I mean, Hal is basically he's narrating the whole movie.
Well, then he's a shitty storyteller.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just in. Hal Jordan is the shittiest storyteller of all time.
Well, he's not. At least he's not Jeff Johns.
Oh. Oh,
God. We're not going there. We're not. We'll be here all night if we
can. No, I'm making a joke. But like I said, I think the fact that the pacing and the tone of the first 75% of the movie totally threw me off. And other than the Mogo story, I really can't pin down anything I like in the other individual stories. So,
what about you, Neil? Anything else in the other individual ones that you liked?
Let's see. Lyra's costume.
Oh, yeah, everybody likes Lyra's costume. I liked how she used her powers, though. I liked how she used the lantern powers. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Oh, good fight choreography.
Oh yeah, that fight between her and the and Dragon Daddy, that was awesome. My two nitpicks for this, again, goes back to the fact that this Hal Jordan is the shittiest storyteller of all time. He says there had to be chaos in order for there to have, you know, in order for them to have order. And I'm like, well, of course you have to have chaos to get order. Duh. And then the other one was, and this is such a nitpick, and I know, and I'm not taking points off the movie for this, but on the planet Jade, they mention that they follow the Golden Dragon, and I'm thinking, your planet is named after a shade of green. Why are you not worshipping a green dragon?
Well, the Golden Dragon, it's because they have crab legs on the Friday night buffet. That's what I was thinking when I heard that name. I'm like, oh, I think I've been there before. Good hot and sour soup. when your secret society, when your government is named after a Chinese takeaway,
takeout, yeah. Oh my god, yeah, it's just so. Oh,
God. At least it wasn't the LaCroix dragon.
Little toy dragon.
Yeah, she was going to be attacked by a giant Muppet.
And around this time that this movie came out, as I said before, it came out 10 days before Van Wilder was Green Lantern. The one thing that during this time that really made me excited for anything Green Lantern was the Muppets parody trailer with Kermit in a Green Lantern suit. That was friggin' awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, my God. Beware my banjo.
Green Froggy Flight.
Something in my throat.
Oh, man.
And that trailer is a million times better than the movie. The Green Lantern movie.
Oh, well, yeah, the Muppet teaser, yeah, is a million times better than the actual film.
Not in Swedish.
As far as this movie, as far as what it made, which is, it's actually kind of sad at this point, it currently, up until the next one that we'll get to in the spotlight, it currently is the one that has made the least amount of money, coming in at $2,572,000. It sold 180,847 units.
Wow. Do you think DC Asylum themselves?
The only one that has made less up to this point before we get to next week's episode was when they did the DC Universe Showcase Shorts Collection. That made $3,799,000.
Yeah, but seriously, the serious question is, do you really think that this movie was put out at that timetable because DC Asylum themselves?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I made a new verb. They totally asylumed themselves.
Yes.
They chop-kicked themselves.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty bad. As far as, you know, rating this movie, it's so weird. I originally rented this on iTunes just so I could see it when it came out. And iTunes is being so weird. I went to rent it again to watch it before we did the recording tonight, and it wouldn't let me. It said, this should already be in your queue, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, it's not. So I had to actually buy it. I don't mind buying it. I like the movie enough where I don't mind spending the money on it, but I had to actually buy it again to even get it into iTunes again. For me, I would say it's a rent at best. Currently, it is not on Netflix. So for me, I would say it's a 2 or a 3. What about you, Neil?
Yeah, I'll give it a 2.
Ben? Go ahead, Neil. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say a 2, I think, is watch it if it's free.
Yeah.
I'd say if you're really curious to rent it, if you really want to, but I wouldn't recommend it.
I give this a 2. I wouldn't say don't watch it, but don't put money down under it, because it's, I don't think it deserves any more money than it already got. I don't think we have to reward mediocre with money.
Yeah.
So I give this a 2 and an upper decker.
The one thing we forgot in this entire discussion so far was we forgot to talk about the voice cast, which we have these side-by-side comparisons from behind the voice actors. Nathan Fillion, Jason Isaacs, Elizabeth Moss, Henry Rollins, Arnold Vosloo, Gray Delisle, Michael Jackson II? Huh. Okay.
Different Michael Jackson.
Beat Steve it. Bloom was a number of voices in this. And as I said, Kelly Hu.
Kelly Wade... Who?
No, not Kelly Hu.
Who?
Dude, bad joke.
Who's on first?
Who's on stage?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, honestly, looking at this voice casting, I mean, Steve Bloom has 4 different roles in this entire thing. So this is pretty much the Steve Bloom movie.
Well, to me, it feels like this was something with... It didn't exactly, to me, feel like it had a lot of thought behind it. It felt like it was basically there and then done, and then like I said, other than the Mogo story, I did enjoy this. And
yeah,
and Mogo don't need no voice actor.
No. As far as the voices of Green Lantern so far that we've gotten, between David Boreanaz, Stabler, Chris Maloney, and Nathan Fillion, I still like David Boreanaz's version of Hal Jordan the best.
I'd have to say Stabler more so for me, because I don't think they gave Nathan Fillion anything to really sink his teeth into it.
No, they didn't. He doesn't – in the entire movie, he – I mean –
I don't think he changed the tone of his voice at all. He was like – it was almost a deadpan, but not quite.
Right. Right, but the entire movie, they're like, go get ready. We have to go take care of Corona. Go get ready. And then you see all these lanterns going up to the central power battery.
Standing in line, patiently.
Standing in line, brightest day, blackest night, blah, blah, blah. Green Looney Tunes. Cantaloupe Tunes. And, you know.
Liberty Adjusted for All.
Yeah, pretty much. The only one in this entire movie that actually gave a good, like, really emphatic version of the oath was Abin Sur at the end, or during that whole story there. You don't hear Nathan as Hal at all say it. I mean, you hear him say it, but you don't hear him say it as normally the Green Lantern of Earth would say it.
He says it like, okay, let's see here, password is blah 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 blah. Okay, yeah. Done. It's like I said, the whole tone of it killed it for me, because the tone is very slow and methodical and business as usual. You don't have a sense of urgency. None of these characters gave you that sense of urgency. None of the writing did. None of the music did. It was just a sense of business as usual.
I don't remember. Was there a short along with this one?
I wish I remembered.
I don't know.
Looking it up, actually. I don't... Let's see. Green Lantern, film features, voice talents of... I don't think there was. It doesn't have anything on the DVD case, so I don't think there was a short with this one. I think around this time they were releasing that showcase thing.
Yeah, Superman, Captain Marvel, Return of Black Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it is on DVD, single disc, two disc, and Blu-ray, plus digital download. I don't know. I liked it. I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed watching trailers for Van Wilder as Green Lantern, so there is that, I guess. So I think we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads, and we're going to come back to close the show. We'll be back after this.
Tooncast will be back after these messages.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual means. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah, sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, hey!
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in. 2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Now back to Geekcast.
You guys have to go over to animationaficionados.com and listen to the extended version of this episode, because what Ben just put Neil and I through is just horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was freaking torture.
There's like a nice tall glass of lemonade.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's a Long Island iced tea.
No.
Okay, so any other notes on this episode or of this movie, the Green Lantern Emerald Knights?
I don't think so, and I'm repressing my urge to say that catchphrase because I hate that wrestler.
Say it.
No.
Neil, you say it for him.
At the end of the episode, I just kept thinking, okay, Mogo's here. What if Unicron shows up?
Firstly, I was waiting for Ego to show up. Ego? The Living Planet? Marvel Comics?
Yes.
Galactus' enemy?
No. The Unicron reference was better.
You brought them there for a purpose?
Yeah. All right. So thank you for joining us here on the Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados crossover. There's always get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the websites geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. You can comment on each of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. We are still trying to get Toon Beyond in iTunes. I got to email those stupid people. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. Neil, what is your Twitter?
Neil Sama.
And Ben, what is the AA Twitter?
A Aficionados.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork and facebook.com/AnimationAficionados. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Toon Beyond and Animation Aficionados and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe Animated Movie Spotlight with Batman Year One. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
GBZ Studio
and Ben.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Good night.
Okay, you guys said it both at the same time. Lovely.
I go cuckoo for cuckoo balls while listening to Tooncast.
5 years, and the ache is still fresh. Like a raw, angry nerve. This isn't about healing. I'm not looking for closure.